Father in heaven, we thank you again for this opportunity. We ask your Holy Spirit to hover over us and guide us, our spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, I'd like to talk about God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty divides people. What does that mean? God's sovereignty means God has his freedom of choice. I think predestination is a part of notion that belongs to God's sovereignty. And as the creator and the finisher of all things, God deserves his own freedom of choice. But when we heard many people saying, why God did that, why God allowed evil, why God punished sinners, why God made hell, etc., what that means is that people are not really taking the notion of God's sovereignty. Many people love their choice, the freedom of their own choice as a human being, but when they heard God has his own freedom of choice, people would not like it. Actually, that's what happened in John chapter 6. I think this is an important turning point for Jesus' ministry. We have a lot of narratives in Gospel of John chapter 6. And the hidden jewel is God's sovereignty. Jesus is talking about God's sovereignty. And then we'll find out what Jesus is saying about God's sovereignty. Would you please turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 66 to 71. John 6, 66 and 71. And as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? We have words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, did I myself not choose you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil? Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. From this text, we see that many of his disciples left Jesus. And the bulk of people who followed Jesus all along began to fall apart from the fellowship of Jesus. So there was a great divide that day, perhaps one of the worst days of Jesus' ministry. Now only 12 people left, and one of them will also betray him. So, however, Jesus teaches us why we should not be disappointed, even with this kind of great setback in light of God's sovereignty. There are many reasons why some of the followers of Jesus grumbled against Jesus. Let's go back a little bit. This narrative is very difficult to understand, but I think we have to kind of touch from the ground. Let's look at verse 41 of chapter 6. Go back a little bit. And the Jews therefore were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. And they were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? When Jesus claimed that he is the bread of heaven, some of the Jews grumbled against Jesus' claim because Jesus' claim basically put himself as a divine being. So their complaint was against the identity of Jesus. They knew fully well that Jesus has father and mother in Nazareth, but now Jesus is claiming that he is from heaven. So they were not convinced that Jesus was God. And look at verse 43 and 44. This is how Jesus answered. Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You know, verse 44 especially, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. This is a statement about God's sovereignty. The sovereignty of God is about God's freedom of choice. God freely chooses the people to whom he is gracious. You know, when God appeared to Moses, God said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. So God chooses to whom he will be merciful. So what that means is, these people who grumble against Jesus, they may not be chosen by God. That's why they are in opposition to Jesus Christ. That's basically what Jesus is indirectly alluding. If God has chosen you, you will follow me and you will understand what I'm saying. Otherwise, you may not be chosen by him. Jesus didn't say bluntly, but that's what Jesus is meant. Jesus meant when he says verse 44. And people, you know, when your audience, when Jesus saying like that, you know, you would not like what he was saying, obviously, if you are not a believer, especially. And then Jesus goes on in verse 51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. And against this, people responded negatively again. Verse 52. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So they did not understand Jesus. They were thinking about cannibalism, eating flesh. But Jesus was not talking about that. Jesus was talking about the fellowship, relationship that is needed with his people. And let's look at verse 56. Jesus goes on, he who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, abides in me, and I in him. So Jesus was teaching the abiding principle. He who eats his flesh and drinks his blood is an expression of abiding principle. It's a deep fellowship, which is the essence of those who believe in Jesus. So what Jesus is saying is, if you are a believer, you'd have very deep fellowship with me. And Jesus called for an action to believe him. That is the only way to live now and eternally. But when you look at verse 60, now the grumbling of the Jews now begin to affect some of his disciples. Look at verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? They are not the Jews, but they are the disciples. Many of the disciples also challenged Jesus, noting that there is difficulty in taking the word of Jesus. You know, negativity travels faster than the speed of light. That's what was happening. The Jewish people who challenged against the sovereignty of God, God's freedom of his will, now that affect even the disciples. They begin to fall apart. But Jesus did not give up, and he went on with his disciples. Look at verse 61. But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before?" You know, in a normal dialogue, we would expect Jesus to tone down, to keep the people around him. But Jesus did not bend at all. He knew people had a hard time to believe that he was descended from heaven. But Jesus went on even further. He talks about ascension. That, hey guys, Jesus saying as if, hey guys, you looked stumbled because I talked about where I came from, heaven. And how much more will you stumble if you see me ascend to heaven? There are much more stunning things that I have now shown to you guys. And then Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit in verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Now Jesus is saying, as if, as the Spirit is the life giver, so is my word. You know, his word is not just a word of a great teacher, a rabbi. He's saying, the word he has spoken to you are spirit and life. And verse 64, Jesus went on, but there are some of you who do not believe. You know, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. But he went on. You know, Jesus is a sovereign as his Father is sovereign because he knew who would not believe in him from the beginning. And now, look at verse 65, which is a very important verse. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. So Jesus is saying as if, hey guys, my Father is sovereign God. He is the one who sends you to me if you are his chosen one. And I am not here to convince you. I just declare the sovereignty of my Father who sent me. And the one who will come to me, my Father knows, and so do I. And verse 66, which is our text, as a result of this, many disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So what's happening here? You know, when his disciples heard about the sovereignty of God, God's freedom of his will to choose to whom he will be gracious and to whom he will be compassionate, people began to leave Jesus. You know, Jesus lost many of his followers this day. We don't know how many, but perhaps hundreds, if not thousands. There are many things that turn them off to result to leave Jesus. But the hardest blow to them was the statement about the sovereignty of God. God chooses the people out of his divine free will. You know, people did not want to hear God's sovereignty, even some of the disciples of Jesus. And even today, many people, even Christians, did not like, you know, do not like to hear God's free will. I think, you know, we live in an environment where self-decision is so important. You know, we think that we are saved by faith without talking about God's grace. So we live in this culture, and even Christian theologians, many people actually do not like God's sovereignty, especially the predestination. God chose Israel and made his covenant with Abraham. In our days, people hate Israel because people hate God who chose Israel. Why wouldn't God choose Muslim? And you know, they are saying God is not fair. God should be fair. God should be fair to the Jews and Muslim together. But that was not God's choice. God chose Israel, and God said, those who bless descendant of Abraham will be blessed. Those who curse descendant of Abraham will be cursed. That's what God has said. Whether we like it or not, that was God's choice. God chose Israel. Even these days, those debates goes on. The previous government of USA actually betrayed Israel. And now this government tried to put it back, probably because they understand the sovereignty of God, God's predestination. We don't want to curse that which was chosen by God. And people hate Jesus because people hate God who chose Jesus and sent him to us. And the people try to create the world religion where there's no such notion of God's sovereignty. Everyone should be equal. Everyone should believe in one God. That's a totally different notion from the biblical God. You know, as I said, do you know why people oppose God's sovereignty? His free will of choice, because they think it is unfair. They expect God to be fair to all people. By the way, God is not fair. God is just. And God is merciful. He did not have to choose any sinner. And everyone deserves eternal punishment. God would be perfectly fine and perfectly just, even if he were not to save anyone, not even a single one. But by his mercy, God saved some from the hell, and by his grace, God has given eternal life to those who believe in him, and they are entering heaven. So we are not saved by God's fairness, but by his sovereign grace of his choice. And we simply take it. That's how we are saved. So when someone says God is not fair, this person is actually putting himself above God. When people do not like the doctrine of God's sovereignty, God's freedom of his choice, they are actually creating their own gods in their mind. That's actually what is happening in the world. They are creating world religion where everyone is equal and everyone is same. But that's not the notion of the doctrine from the Bible, which Jesus tried to say, and a lot of people didn't like it. They begin to leave him, even his disciples. But as we have seen from our text, many of disciples left for good because their mind has no room to take the word of Jesus as the living word that saves them. They could not believe in Jesus. You know, these people have seen the miracle of Jesus and heard the word of Jesus ever since they followed him. And they were fed by Jesus and spent numerous days with him, but they left Jesus for good because they couldn't take God's free will, God exercised his free will to choose some people. So this was a turning point of Jesus' ministry. Jesus lost many of his followers. It may be time of crisis, but at the same time, it was a time of testing. Life is a test, and it is time to take Jesus or leave him. And look at verse 67. Jesus said, therefore, to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? You know, now everybody left except for the 12. And Jesus asked this question, do you want to go away also, do you? You know, upon hearing Jesus' challenge to them, Peter spoke to Jesus. Look at verse 68 and 69. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? you have words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You know, Peter responded with a profound statement, Lord, to whom shall we go? First of all, Lord is a kurios, which means the one who is in a position of authority. In Jesus' time, there was only one kurios, Caesar, the Roman Empire. But Peter called Jesus Lord, kurios. You are the only one. You are the only one who is in a position of authority. So Peter meant Jesus is a divine, transcendent being who says the ultimate authority. This is the right title of Jesus. Peter began to understand who Jesus is. And Peter said, you have words of eternal life. Peter began to have relationship with Jesus himself. And the word he spoken registered to him, and he began to digest the word of Jesus that leads to his own eternal life. So he was completely abiding in Jesus and Jesus in him. He was fed by the bread of Jesus, but also by the presence of Jesus. And then Jesus answered, in verse 70, Jesus answered them, did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? And now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. You know, this is a very important part of John's gospel. You know, Jesus made a significant statement about his sovereignty. Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? What does that mean? Jesus chose 12, his 12 people. And he even chose Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him. It was not a mistake. It was not just Judas' decision to betray Jesus, but Jesus knew that already, but he chose him as part of the 12, out of his sovereign choice. You know what that means? Jesus chose Peter and the rest of the 11, including Judas Iscariot, and he chose the Judas to play evil against him. He knew about it. It's not just a Judas decision, human decision to betray against Jesus. Out of his sovereign will, Jesus chose Judas, and Jesus would betray him. You know, what that means is, when Judas betrayed him, Jesus will be crucified at the cross. He knew about it. Even that was part of his choice. He chose who will be his final 12, and even the Judas Iscariot. You know, a lot of people think devil or evil fight against God, but actually devil or evil, they are under God's sovereignty. Even Job, if you remember Job, the Satan actually came to God to harass, share his plan to harass, Job, and God allowed that. That's actually God's sovereign will. Under God's sovereign will, Satan and devil exist. They're not fighting head to head with God. God is above. You know, our life is God's drama. God is the author, and he's writing his story. And he brought Satan as one of the important character for this story to make it dramatic, to make it more fun, so to speak. So it's not that Satan is fighting against God. He has no power, and everything will be defeated. All his scheme will be defeated in the end. That's God's drama. God is above him. In the same way, Jesus chose Judas Iscariot to be the betrayer under his sovereign, the will. It was a mistake. It was a mistake. Because Jesus knew that by his own Father's will, he had to die. And he has to choose one who will betray him. That was Judas Iscariot. And let's think about, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. That's Peter's confession. This is a great confession of Peter, who placed his full trust in Jesus. But even this great confession of faith expressed by Peter is under Jesus' sovereignty, because Jesus chose Peter. You know, how did you come to Christ? How did you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What happened to your life? Was it completely by your choice, your decision? Yes, we made a decision, to receive Jesus' offer of salvation. Yet, have you thought about God's choice for you, which preceded before your decision? You know, you would not be able to choose God unless God has chosen you. You are a believer in Jesus Christ because God has chosen you to be Christ. You know, that's the sovereignty of God. God has chosen you. God has chosen you to be gracious to you, to be compassionate to you. That's why, you know, you are a believer today. You took the offer of God's gift of salvation, but even before you made a decision, God has chosen you to be His. No statement is more powerfully expressing about the sovereignty of God than this very word of Jesus in John chapter 6, verses 37 to 39. Let me read it for you. You know, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. The whole mission of Jesus is predicated upon the sovereignty of God, God's choice. The Father has chosen each and every person who will believe in His Son. And the Father sent His Son to save them all and secure them all to eternal life. So that was Jesus' mission. You know, we cannot think of Jesus' mission on earth without the sovereignty of God. And Jesus' mission on earth completes the sovereignty of God. Whoever God has chosen, Jesus looked for them and then saved them and secured them and raised them up on the day of judgment. That's Jesus' mission. Sovereignty of God was a stumbling block to many, to those who perish in Jesus' generation, and so is in our generation. You know, Jesus has lost everyone except the 11 disciples. But these 11 disciples changed the world. You know, Jesus did not need millions of armies to change the world. Out of his sovereign free will, he chose just 11 people who would change the world, and even the one who would betray him, to cast him on the cross so that he would be able to save people who will come, you know, after his generation. Every salvation is possible because of God's sovereign choice of his will upon that person. And conversely, no salvation is possible without God's sovereign choice of his will. You know, God's sovereignty is a stumbling block to those who perish. And yet God's sovereignty is the only enabler of salvation to those who receive life eternal. You know, there are many implications from the sovereignty of God's the freedom of choice. God chooses to whom He is gracious, and God chooses to whom He is compassionate. You know, the implication is we have all the reason why we praise the Lord. Praise the Father and the Son because they are sovereign Lord who imparted a life eternal in you and me. You know, it's not, you know, our work, it's a God's work imparted on us. And He's the one who created life in us. He's the one who set apart us from so many people in this world and have share His life eternal with us. We have all the more the reason to praise Him. And second implication, we have all the reason why we should humble ourselves before the Father and the Son who are sovereign Lord. As Peter said, Lord, Kyrios, there is only one, the figure of authority for us. And we need to humble ourselves because God is the one who freely exercises His authority over us and election for us so that we will be saved. There's nothing that we should boast about our own salvation. It's a God's work. And so the implication, we have all the reason we should feel secure, eternally secure, because God has made His decision for us in His Son, even before we have known Him. So and that's the mission of Jesus. Among those people God, His Father, has given Him, Jesus would not lose anyone and find everyone, each and everyone, and secure them and preserve them and raise them up on the day of, on the day of the Lord. We are secure, eternally secure. Lastly, we have all the reason why we should give all the glory to the Father and the Son, our sovereign Lord. Let us pray. Father, we honor Your freedom of will, Your will. That is above all things and above all our own will. Without Your will, we have nothing. But because of Your will, Your gracious will to choose us in Jesus Christ, Your Son, we are here. And let Your will continue to be effective upon us. And thank You for this security, eternal security that You have given us as a gift. Father, we thank You for all Your plans and all Your will and to choose us as part of Your will, as Your plan. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you. Father, we thank you that you are sovereign, and thank you that you deserve your freedom of your will upon us. Because of your sovereign will, we are here. We appreciate that, and we will continue to worship you as the sole curious Lord of all. May the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of our Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.